Hi, and thank you for listening in to the New Song Podcast from this week's service. You are welcome and encouraged to join us at 10 a.m. on Sundays in person. And for more information on how to get involved with New Song, go to newsonglouisville.org and follow us on social media. And now for today's message.
Romans 8:11. This is the verse that everything I'm going to speak on today will hinge off of this. And let's pray before we go any further. Father, we invite you in. We've done this a couple times this morning, but as my mouth opens to go deeper into what you put on my heart to speak, Lord. God, as I get up here this morning, I'm not even sure I know what I'm doing up here this morning, because you're changing some things around. You're doing some things differently this morning. But what you mean is for good for us this morning. And God, I give you this heart. I give you this voice. I give you the things that are stirring deep within me. I give you the many hours that you've called me to hang with you lately, and it's been precious. And the things that you've downpoured within me, dear Father, we want to all glean from these things, dear Father. And may these be your words, because if they're from me, dear God, they're just a bunch of noise. They're just a bunch of words. They're a bunch of false wisdom, dear God, that Bert thinks he has. Without you in me, Lord, I know nothing. Without you leading me, dear Father, I can say nothing that will make a difference. But with you in, dear Father, all things will make a difference. In your holy name, amen. You may be seated. Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. That same spirit, as Christ was crucified and put in the tomb, all of hell was rejoicing. This is we've crushed what we think was the biggest threat against us ever. And we've locked him in, and they rolled this huge stone in front, and he's dead. He's gone. Our threat is over. But that same spirit that was with him in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That was the same spirit that was it came into that tomb on that third day and says, "Hey, awake from your slumber, King of Kings. Come out of the pits of hell where you have spent the last several days collecting the keys and setting things in order. Arise, my love." That same spirit called out to him into the grave, into the pits of hell, and says, "Arise, my love. Arise, my king. Arise, my Lord, and come back to us and begin to walk amongst us." That same spirit that raised and awoke our Savior, who they said was dead and gone, is the same spirit that dwells in you this morning. Can you rejoice in that? That same spirit that awakened a dead Savior as Satan had done. That same spirit that rose him up, rolled the stone away. All of heaven rolled the stone away and says, "Come on out." He began to walk out. That's the same spirit that's deep within your soul this morning. And there's life in that. I want you to take that spirit and reflect it. Turn the reflection of that spirit against the death that you're carrying within your heart today. That same spirit, let it shine on that spot that you said there's no hope. This is dead. This is gone. This dream, this hope, this relationship, this the sickness is overtaken, the finances are gone. Let that Spirit come and revive you today. This is your promise. Romans 8:11. If we're not going to believe the Bible, let's not even bring it into the house of God. But if we are, then we get to claim today that same Spirit has revived me. You want to find out about reviving me? Go talk to my wife and my family. You will see where that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead has come and done a magnificent work. Still has a lot of work to do. And that ain't due to he can't do it. That's due to me dragging my feet most of the time. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead raised a dead marriage between my wife and I. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead reunited a son whom the world said was dead to me, whom the enemy had said, you have lost him because of you are a religious man. But God says, no, that isn't what I said. That's what the world, that's what the enemy, that's what the voices have told you. And as I set me aside, as I set this hard heart of mine aside, my wants, my things, God says, now I can work in that. If you will humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, I will release that Spirit into the world in you and around you. That the faith, you may came in here this morning with just that mustard seed of faith. He says, that's all I need. He says, I can supernaturally take and plant that and build something so massive, it's unbelievable. It's a sad thing when we let a mustard seed. So if you planted that mustard seed and you nurtured it, they say a mustard tree, mustard bush, I don't know what they is massive. It's huge. So if something that I was, the Lord showed me yesterday, and I guess it's for this morning, was Kentucky, the whole East Coast here used to be the Appalachian Mountains, used to be full of the chestnut trees. 40 million chestnut trees. They called them the giants of the Appalachians. How do they say it? I'm probably saying that wrong. Appalachia. Something like that. Anyways, you guys kind of think got what I'm saying. These things would grow 12 stories tall. You could not, my family could not reach around some of them. They were that massive. And they ran from Maine all the way down into the Tennessees and below. And they showed this documentary yesterday, as they chipped out the V as they were cutting them down, and this tree was used for everything. They actually laid people in there. There was actually people laying in there, showing how massive they were. There was actually one where ladies were standing in the midst of this giant. And what did this giant do? It gave heat for their homes. It built their homes. It built the buck and rail fences all through Kentucky, Tennessee, and the coast over there. The nuts that dropped off were used by the Indians. They ground it for their flour. It was a main source of life. The animals would come out. Each animal would come out, and I think they said there was something like 60 different species of animal have perished since these chestnut trees no longer exist in this country. Butterflies and monarch moths and white-footed mice. And, you know, some of these things you think, well, we could do without that. But it changed the ground cover. This massive thing changed the water flow. So even the Even the things that lived in the water suffered from it. The people suffered from it. Everyone suffered from this. And it was because a plague came from China, the China chestnut drought, they called it. No one really knows how it got introduced, but it came and got in these trees, and it killed them all within 10 years. It just went down the row and just killed each and every one of them. They say there were so many of them that when they bloomed in the spring, it looked like fresh snow had fallen all across the Appalachians. And they were showing pictures of them, and it was magnificent. And I talk about these giants this morning because this is the same spirit of giant within you, that if the enemy can hold you down and crush you, if he can hold you down and put a plague on you, if he can hold you down and snuff you out, you will never see your full potential. Your families, your friends, your children, your spouses, your generations to come will never see the full potential of who or what you could have been. And it's not too late. I don't know who the oldest dog is in here this morning, but it's not too late. Not too late to start now and impacting so that your children and your children's children and generations to come can see the granddad. The stories will be told around the hearth of the fireplace, around the dinner table, if you start to live out what God intended you to be. Living in the land of faithfulness. See, we've already crossed over. We're in the land of faithfulness. We've had it all handed to us. Christ says, here it is. Come and get it. But you have to step out and come to it. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same spirit that David went down and slayed Goliath with. David didn't have lack of fear. David had trust in a God who had always come through for him. So don't just tell me, well, I'm scared, Bert. I'm scared to step out. Well, that's fine. A good dose of fear never hurt nobody. But I have trust in the God. That same spirit that pulled my Savior out of the tomb that day that dwells within me, I have that same spirit. I trust in him. I live in the land of that faithfulness because. So when David, just to tell you a little more of the story, when he goes down to the stream there and picks out his rocks, he picks out five stones. Five beautiful stones that God had laid there for him for such a time as this. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead prepared David to go down, pick up five stones. So we know one of them had the name of Goliath on it. So David, you know, with his little pouch and string, and he's out there, and this, everybody's laughing at him. What a ridiculous looking, a child pretty much in their mind and heart, is going there. He's got a string and he's flinging it, and he drops the giant. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead was in the heart of David as he went. The other four stones was for the unknown, because Goliath had four brothers. And I'm telling you what, blood's pretty thick. And you think, well, David's thinking like everybody else. If you messed with the family, those four brothers may come down here and not honor the word, because they were a bunch of heathens. there might have been honor in heathens, but once you take down the brother and take off his head, you may find out how deep that goes. So David had four more stones ready. That same spirit was had rose up in him, the indignation of, how dare you talk about my God in this way? How dare you do this? And he's ready for that. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead went and saw a young man who was hiding from his enemies, grinding his wheat to feed his family. And he says, son, I'm calling you out. Gideon, come forth. And if the children of Israel would have came out and brought all the men, then it said, we won because we had sheer numbers and talent. And God says, my spirit wants to show you more than that. My spirit wants to show you that I come and fight for you. I come and I bring victory on your behalf. So he cut all these thousands, hundreds of thousands of men down to 300. So that same spirit could be recognized and known. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead was in a young man called Joseph. We talk about some tests, trials, and tribulations. This young fellow went through it there for a season. But the same spirit was in him that for such a time as this, this young man became a giant among people. His name was known throughout the land. What is it that God's speaking to you about? What is the dream? What is that thing deep within you that you've just squashed down and you want it? You actually parked the car on top of it with a wheel. You do not want this thing rising up. What is it within your heart that you've just continued to push down in a way that God wants to resurrect with that same spirit that lives within you? What is it that you're scared to dream? What if, God, you don't come through with my finances? What if, God, you don't? See, we've already began to question, which is okay. He's not scared of it. I loved what Nate had to say this morning as he came up. You know what? There's times that I'm frustrated with God because I'm not seeing the answers that I've been asking for. I'm seeing some things going to change. The disciples, as they saw what they thought was the Savior who was going to come and save them, they saw that it was gone. That same spirit, they thought, had gone to the grave and was done. Their hopes were dashed. Their dreams were dashed. It was over. But what everyone meant for bad, God meant for good. And he says, just you wait and see. And what are we still doing today? We're waiting to see. We're waiting to see how God comes through for you. We're waiting to see how those that go before us go with grace. We watched a great man, James, pass away this year. And the man walked out his last days with such grace. It was so good to see a man believe. He when you went over and you visited with him and you sat there and you looked in the eye, he's looking to the heavens. Carr and I went over one Sunday afternoon. He says, guys, Jesus came and visited me last night. And I asked him, James says, I asked him, he says, is it time? He says, not yet, son. Not quite yet. I'm not done quite yet. And you could just see the yearning in his eyes as he was getting ready. And you could see the peace that was over him. He says, Bert, you've been down the shipyards? I says, yeah. He says, my moorings, they're starting to pull away. The moorings of this earth, they're weakening. And my time to go see my Lord and Savior. He who I have fought with to survive this world, he who I have labored with, he who I have struggled with. Now, if you know the story of my brother James, life was not a picnic for him neither. He had relationship problems with some of his children. He had a son that was murdered earlier in his life, and he fought through these things in his heart, but he kept his eyes on God. He kept his eyes on the Savior. You know, and I remember that Sunday we were over there with him. I says, Gar and I said, James, he says, yeah, brother. I says, I didn't come here to pray for you today. And he just kind of grinned. I says, I came here to celebrate with you today. Because you're going where we're all hoping to be going. And you're ready. You're done. If you knew James, he was done with the pain. He was done with the sleepless nights. He was done with, you know, taking the drugs just to keep him comfortable. He says, before I go, Bert, though, I want to know that I've done everything I can to reach my family, to reach those that God has, even the caretakers that came in. And so we celebrated that day. I says, let everybody that knows me up there know that I'm coming. I says, let them know that Big Mouth Bert's on his way, and he's coming. So that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, I can go through number after number after number of men and women through the Bible who that spirit empowered. And he wants to be available for you with that power today. He wants to raise you up. He wants to give you that same power this morning. So I'm again. Like I said earlier, I don't know exactly what I'm doing this morning. The Lord just came in. As you saw, we didn't do announcements. We'll talk about a few things when we're done here. But I think he wants those of you that have those things that are too big for you. Those things where your dreams, your imaginable, unimaginable things that you wanted, and you says, "Man, this ain't gonna arise." I think he wants us to make a move. And sometimes when the children of Israel, before the water would reside and wall up, they had to get up and move. And I think the Lord wants us to, if you need a change in your life, if you need something that you just can't grasp a hold of, or you need to see something different, we're just going to ask you to come up here and line this front, and we're just going to pray for you this morning. Because that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead wants to come in and change the things that are in your heart. Now, if none of you need anything, that's cool. I'm good with that. God may not be, but I'm going, you know, you guys do whatever. But if you need a touch from God, if you need an answer from God, if you need a healing from God, if you need a relationship healed, and it's only going to be God, if you're confused or just suffering somewhere in your life, your body, your health, and your mind, I'm going to ask you to come up and line here. I'm going to ask the worship team if you'll play something softly for us back here, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. See, God wants to come this morning, and he wants to heal you. He wants to fix all the things that are going on within your heart that you just can't find the path. He wants to break the addiction cycles that we've put up in our life. He wants to handle the finances. He wants to heal you. He wants to heal who you're standing in proxy for this morning. He wants to heal your children. He wants to heal your grandchildren. He wants to touch you in your job. You name it. You tell me what's on your, you tell, not me so much. Tell him what's on your heart. Just speak it to him. As they begin to play, just speak it to him. And we're just gonna pray. And that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the spirit that I'm gonna invite in. And may he come and may he touch you with that. May he touch you with his mighty hand. May he touch you with his spirit. Those of you that have dreams that you can't, man, you used to have them and you know they're in there, but I just can't even bring them up anymore because I've squashed them down. I've whacked them all with them so many times. They stick their head up and I'm over there whacking them with doubt and fear. See, again, fear is not that you can have fear, but have more trust in God. Have more trust in that spirit that we're talking about. Have more trust in the Holy Spirit who wants to come and deliver you this morning. So I'm going to let you talk to the Holy Spirit for a few minutes. And we're just going to love on him this morning because he loves to be loved on. And then he's going to come and he's going to answer. He wants to answer you. He wants to meet you. So the Lord just told me, at least I think this is what I heard from him, and I'm excited for you. He says, now prepare your home. Prepare the home of your hearts for what I'm about to give you. He says, prepare your home like a mother when you first came home with that first child, how you prepared everything, you wanted it perfect. God says, prepare. Prepare for what I'm already getting ready to hand you. I'm even handing it to some of you right now who are receiving. Prepare. Be expectant. Be looking. Get ready.
Yes, yes.
Begin to think different. It's going to change your life. That child coming home, it changed your life. That dream coming alive is going to change the way you walk out tomorrow. The finances that he's going to give you, you're going to see that I got to think a little bit different so I don't find myself here again. The relationship that he's going to repair, how are you going to walk that relationship out next? That jewel that you're about to lose, there's some here this morning that are close to losing those that are very close to their heart. God's prepared a place for them. And he wants you to prepare your heart for when you get to go have that reunion. As I sat and I dreamt about James this morning, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more coming to church and figuring out what I needed to do. He is with church. He is part of the church. And what a celebration. The stresses of your life, God's ready to hand them to you. The things you need him to take out, he's ready to rip them out of your arm, the things that need to go. He's a miracle-working God. That same spirit that raised him from the tomb is ready to raise you to the height you need to be this morning. He's ready to meet you right where you are. He wants to come in and touch your heart so bad. I just can't get over. He goes, have them get their arms ready. I'm about to delivery. Got my delivery people out already. He says, all of heaven's getting ready to deliver to them. There's some of you sitting out there that didn't quite have what it took to come up here this morning. And that's okay. But he still hears you. He's still going to meet you. He's still going to touch you. He says, trust me. Trust me. So, Lord, we pray for These are your sons and daughters. These are my friends. And God, some of them may have come here this morning with just that mustard seed of faith. And you said, your word said that's all you needed. And you could move mountains with that. With that Spirit of God, you could move mountains within their hearts. And God, you, the man that also came and said, God, but I want it, but I'm not sure I have enough faith. God says, I'll help you out with that. And he's here to help us out with that this morning. He's here to meet you at your point of fear, your point of anxiety, your point of the unknown. It's in the unknown that he works best. Because then we get to trust in him. We get to trust in him. Now, you can try to control everything. Let me know how that works. Let's have a conversation later. But we get to trust in him. And then I want to hear, let's have coffee and let's find out what he's done. Because God just never, he never fails. He's got a plan. So, Lord, your sons and daughters, they're here and their hearts are yearning. Holy Spirit, come and love on each and every one of them. Come and take them deeper. It's this corkscrew ride into the depths of the heart of God. The unimaginable things that he wants to impart within your life. The things he wants to change in your relationships. The things he wants to touch on your behalf. And if you're a couple here this morning, and if you're a couple, they might be sitting back there, but join with them later today and say, this thing that's burning within my heart, will you join together with me and believe for this? We need this, God. We need each other. We need this, and we need to invite the Holy Spirit into the pain, the discomfort, the things that you're really struggling with this morning. I'm telling you that it was unimaginable to these people when Jesus was not in the tomb the next morning. Man, he had the critics scrambling, trying to figure out and make stories up. He had those that loved him and cared for him. He had them wondering and scratching their head. Could it have really been? Could the things he said? And then they burnt deep within inside of them. And that's what's happening with some of you this morning. There's a deep burning going on inside of you. You go, do I dare dream again? Can I? Should I? Could I? Do I dare believe one more time? Do I dare reach out to that loved one more time to see if we can make a bridge? Hey, my car and I sat with my youngest son, who hadn't been with us for several years, yesterday. And he came and we're hugging on each other, saying goodbye, and Carr looks over and says, it's been a year, hon. Been a year since you came home, son. And our hearts rejoiced. It was a year on Easter that he came through that restaurant door. And he said, Dad, I forgive you. I love you. I said, son, I forgive you. I love you. We put this stuff aside. Nothing matters. God is a God of restoration. God is a God of new. God is a God of, hey, if that ain't my plan, I'm going to pick you up and carry you to the other side. So, Lord, I pray for those that are here. Might have answered some of the things for some of them, Lord. There may be some still struggling here, dear God, but you're a God, and you know how to communicate with each and every one here, and I love that. So you're a miracle-working God, so go and speak to them and love on them and fill them, dear God, and pour into them. And God, in all of this, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, may it go with us as we leave these doors this morning. As we go into the harvest, as we go out there, Lord, and we serve you, dear God. May we leave here different than when we came through those doors this morning, knowing that you are the miracle-working God in my life, in my relationship's life, me and my wife's life, me and my children's life, my grandchildren's life. All these relationships, dear God, that I get to touch. Be blessed and glorified in us today, Lord, as we go our way. Watch over us and protect us, we pray in your holy name.